My dear children, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Pasuk says in Shoftim, Pasuk Zion, Perek Zion, Pasuk Gimel, Kra Na Ba'aznei Ha'am. Kra Na Ba'aznei Ha'am. For the past 4 weeks, this has gradually snuck up on us. Like childbirth pains. 4 weeks ago, not so bad. Purim was a little uncomfortable, and the past 2 weeks, the shrieks of agony, as we can no longer bear the pain of the upheaval of our lives, as it has taken over the Jewish people and the world. We are all badud, alone, badud b'chol derecheho dayeho. What has universally bound us during these weeks of isolation is the non-stop messages that we receive via email and WhatsApp. As everyone tries to make sense of this, as everyone is helpless and looking to help, one piece of behavior has overtaken us all. Every person is sharing information, news, a vart, a shir, and it disseminates with lightning speed in nanoseconds throughout the globe along the fiber optic information highway. So the thoughts I'm going to share with you are not only my own, but a collation of many of the thoughts I have heard during this time. What I found interesting is that as you talk to people about your interpretations of events or a vart you heard, you invariably hear from other people, oh, I was thinking the exact same thing. Or yeah, the Gemara Masechta so-and-so talks about this, or I had the same machshava. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not bringing anything new to the table. I'm no chacham, I'm no great thinker. You know the phrase, I'm just a pashut yid. And you know, for me, I say, halavai, I can be just a pashut yid. But what I am is your father. And although you're all adults with children of your own, I still have an obligation to guide you when I can. It is, of course, very clear to everyone that Hashem is screaming at us to do tshuva. We have done wrong. Hashem has spoken to the entire Klal Yisrael and said, I am not happy with you. Shut it all down. It's akin to when I was in school as an early teen. I had a teacher who, when sending a kid out of class to a private room for misbehaving, would always answer the student's incredulous question of, hey, what did I do wrong? And the teacher would say, stay here, think about it, and when you figure it out, you can come back in. He would then require the offending student to explain exactly what he did wrong and apologize before being allowed back into class. I know this because others have told me that's what happened. Couldn't possibly ever have happened to me. Anyway, it should be painfully obvious at this point that Hashem is not happy with any of us. He isn't happy with Panavij Yeshiva. He isn't happy with Yeshivat HaKotel. He isn't happy with the Cheder in Mea Shearim, and he isn't happy with the Gan in Gush. He isn't happy with the young Israels all over this country, nor is he happy with the Agudas Yisraels all over this country. He isn't happy with Tayr Vidas or Mir and Yeshivas in that Hashkofa, and he isn't happy with Yeshivas and institutions that have a less Yeshivish approach. He isn't happy with the Litvisha, he isn't happy with the Hasidisha, he isn't happy with the black velvet yarmulkes, the leather yarmulkes, the big kippot sregot, the tiny kippot sregot. He isn't happy with those who wear kapotas, bekishes, suits, white shirts, t-shirts, tank tops, or no shirts. No one can say they are better. Strimals, black hats, no hats, payas, chups, it doesn't matter. Hashem has had it, and he has said, shut it all down. Most of all, Hashem is not happy with me. It should make us all tremble and shake. Klal Yisrael is bustling and exploding with more Torah learning than ever before in history, and yet Hashem said, shut it all down. So obviously we're doing something wrong. As everyone has pointed out, we are in fact living through an unbelievable moment in history, and every person in the world has been profoundly affected in every aspect of their lives. Exactly 6 months ago today, we said on Asana Taikif on Rosh Hashanah, and as we said, Mi Barash or Mi Bamageifa, did any of us even dream or have Kavana when we said those words? I know I didn't. I was more focused on mi yechye, mi yamos, mi ayani, mi ayasher. I suspect that in our Yamim Narayim to come, the words mi barash, or mi bamagefa, will have a different meaning for all of us for the rest of our lives. And what we should learn from that is that every word we say in that tefillah is relevant. Nothing is obsolete. We are, in fact, in middle of the greatest Ni'ilas Shar that history has ever seen. We are all in middle of Ni'ila. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but we're in middle of Ni'ila. You know how you feel on Yom Kippur at Ni'ila? How you shake? When you realize you have just one more hour till Yom Kippur is over. Hashem has given us all one long, long Ni'ila. We are alone. I'm cut off from all of you. I cannot see any of you. I cannot hold my beautiful grandchildren. I will be alone for Pesach, alone for the Seder. Is Hashem not screaming at me? Is He not angry at me? He is saying to me, I have shut it all down for you. I have taken away your business. I've taken away your shul, your family. I've shut it all down. Stay home for weeks on end till you figure it out and then come back to me. It's Ni'ila. If I told you that Hashem wants us to do tshuva, you would be right. He would be right for answering, you think? That's all we hear about every day on every shir and every WhatsApp message and every conversation we have with anyone about this. We have to do tshuva. So what does tshuva look like? I don't know exactly. But what I can do is share some observations about our society in general, and then perhaps each one can find something that they can do personally to move forward. You've all heard me comment over the years, as many have for the past 40 years, that we live in a time of unprecedented gashmias materialism. Our society is so shakua in gashmias, so immersed in materialism, that even the poor people of today live better than kings lived just 100 years ago. That is not a hyperbole or exaggeration. Modern conveniences of refrigeration, air conditioning, electricity, is something the last three generations have brought up with, and it's not even something anyone thinks about anymore. These are considered absolute essential basic necessities of life. And in the past 10 years, advances in the information highway, home automation, and smartphones have turned the science fiction shows of my childhood into reality. Any thoughtful person understands this. We are so shaku and gashmius that when you look at what Chazal tell us about the worship of materialism, it is sick, embarrassing, and shameful. Va'ani b'roisham. It's me. I'm talking more to myself than I am to you. I am a magushim dika person, as you all know. What has really struck me is how our religious life has been infused with gashmias. Our religious life is in fact totally immersed and shakua in gashmias. We do not know, we do not understand what Mesiras Nefesh for Torah for Avodas Hashem means. We have no idea. I have no idea. What my great grandparents had to go through to go to a minyan, to get through a Shabbos, do we know what that is? We live with a minyan factory on every corner. Do we know what it means to have to work 30 to 60 minutes? To have to walk 30 to 60 minutes to get a minyan? I don't, and I never did. It's all too easy. Shacharis, any time we want it, from Nates till Chatzos, no problem. 5-star service waiting for you. Mincha, from the earliest Zman to the latest Zman, any time, all laid out for us, first class, no problem. It's all so convenient and easy. Oh, I have to grab a mincha. We rush off for 7 minutes to daven at the F-14 sound barrier breaking minyan. To get it over with, knock it out, bang it out, get it out of the way. Again, ani b'roisham. I speak from experience. These words came out of my mouth, not that I've heard it from other people, although I have. Chazal speaks about how certain tanoim would spend a great deal of time before davening just to prepare themselves mentally to speak to Hashem. Do we understand what that even means? I certainly don't, and that's the problem. Our ruchnius is shakua in gashmius. So Hashem says, you've turned your davening into a joke. Your shuls are social halls. Your kiddushim are similar to the Roman food orgies. The midas of your children at kiddushim is appalling, the way they take the seats before the adults, the way the parents refuse, absolutely refuse, to be mechanic their children. The women come dressed with makeup and high heels, $10,000 custom wigs. Who are they dressing up for? L'kavod Shemayim? It's for Hashem? It's L'kavod Shabbos? Ironically, this is amongst the black hat crowd. The black hat crowd. It's appalling. So Hashem says, get out. No more shuls. I don't want your shuls. I don't want your tefillah b'tzibur. I'm so disappointed in what you have become. I don't want your Yehei Shmei Rabba, Rachmana Litzlan. We don't live by Hatznei Aleches in Hashem. So Hashem says, leave. Shut it down. And when you figure it out, you can come back. Do we know what it means to be Meiser Nefesh for Chinuch Bonim? We think tuition is Mesiris Nefesh for Chinuch? Really? Do you know what Mesiris Nefesh for Chinuch is? In my lifetime, I only saw it once. When I grew up in Baltimore in the early 70s, there was a family who lived 45 miles away from the city. It was a real hick town out in western Maryland. To the best of my recollection, they were the only Shomer Shabbos family in the town that they lived, if not the only Jews. But where they lived, there was no Jewish school at all. The father of these children drove his kids 1 hour each way, every day, so that his kids could go to a Jewish school. Morning and afternoon, for years this went on. I was a child at the time. So how do I know this, and why did it make such an impression, such a reishim on me? Because my father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would talk about it constantly at home. My father, Zatzal, mentioned it again and again, year after year. He was so nespoiled from the Mesiris Nefesh of this family. He was so mekana the parents' dedication and sacrifice for Chinuch Banim. Can you imagine this 1 hour each way to take your kids to school every day, from first grade to ninth grade, for all their kids, until their kids were old enough to go off to a yeshiva with a dormitory? What do we know of Mesiris Nefesh v'chinuch? Schools are bursting at the seams, and a new one is opening every day. We know nothing about Mesiris Nefesh v'chinuch. Our biggest problem is that the teachers, the rabbeim, don't understand that our child is literally the true Mashiach ben David, and doesn't treat him with the respect that the Savior of Klal Yisrael deserves. And then we go on WhatsApp groups to talk Maitzi Shemra about our children's underpaid Rabbeim. Maitzi Shemra, not Lashon Hara, about our children's underpaid Rabbeim, Moiros, and teachers. Nice, huh? So Hashem says you don't appreciate your schools? You aren't Maitzer Nefesh for Chinuch. Everything is about a project, a competition, school pride. And then rich board members get to pontificate to those on the front lines, the mechanchim, who are working for nothing. And they get to pontificate to those on the front lines because Hashem blessed them with money. So Hashem said, no more school. Get out. Shut it down. And when you figure it out, come back. Kashrus. Do we know what Mesiris Nefesh for Kashrus is? Kosher food industry is a $1 billion industry worldwide. Every delicacy you can imagine is available, and it's all glot. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's glot. We're so frum. Our supermarkets are filled with delicacies and high-end culinary specialties that would be the envy of Ahasuerus's Mishta. The amount of different restaurants, from fast food to high-end steakhouses, is staggering. 5 years ago, a new trend in the New York metro area started. One day I noticed in the supermarkets they all had these cutting boards with prime rib, roast beef, smoked corned beef, pickled corned beef, you name it. You order this by the pound. The only time I had ever seen such a thing, these fancy cutting boards, was at weddings. It was a fancy treat. The fanciest weddings had them. And the only time I ever had anything like this in my life was at a wedding. Now all of a sudden every week it's available, $35 a pound, $40, $50 a pound, doesn't matter. My feeling on this at the time that this came out, and certainly it hasn't changed, is that this is going into the territory known as Novel B'Shus HaTorah. The entire parsha of Ben Sira Marer is there only to teach us the lesson to not be marbe in basar and yayin, meat and wine. We must be memayet basar, reduce our consumption and worship of meat, smoked meat, steakhouse meat, aged meats. This is so repugnant to me, how megushimdik we have become. And remember, I am literally the quintessential Baal Gashmias. And this is so repugnant that I never buy this. I grew up eating chicken on Shabbos, and I continue to do so. Chicken is just fine. How much do we need? How far can we lose our minds high and drunk on the drugs of Gashmias? Every year another fad and another fad, another innovation in culinary delights and another. This is all the polar opposite of Paspa Melech Toichal, Vala Oretz Tishan, Kachadirka Shel Torah. Is this Mesiras Nefesh for Kashrus? I remember my mother telling me how her father had to buy a live chicken on Friday, chefed it himself, and then her mother had to defeather it, gut it, prepare it, kosher it. It's hard work. It was an all-day affair. That's Mesiras Nefesh for Kashrus. They couldn't get kosher meat. But us today, today in today's society, we would have to be Mesir Nefesh to eat treif. There's kosher everywhere, and the best of the best, with the most award-winning chefs. This isn't Hatznei Alechasim Hashem. Which leads me to the next, item on the agenda. Pesach hotels. What is there to say? The estimates of how much the kosher LePesach community spends on Pesach hotels worldwide is conservatively, at a minimum, $200 million to the upper end of $400 million. It is staggering. It is obnoxious. It is disgusting. There are people who can't afford food, almanas who can't raise their children, mechanchim who barely make a living. And this behavior is simply the opposite of mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. It is not hatznei alechasim Hashem. I went to a Pesach hotel once because I won a raffle. And I only went for the first 3 days. And that was it. What goes on is a toeva mamish. There are no words. The nonstop food, nonstop. The pritzis, the way men and women talk, the giloy arayis, the farhesia. People eat and eat and eat until they're mamish sick. What kind of behavior is it when a person ingests a substance that they know is no good for them, and they keep doing it, and they themselves say, I know it's going to make me sick, but I can't stop. That is called addiction. There is no other word for it. We engage in addictive behavior. And to top it all off, at every single Pesach program, there's a world-renowned rabbi, speaker, lecturer, who will invariably give a shiur on how Klal Yisrael is an Am Kadosh, and we are supposed to take every bit of Gashmi in this world and elevate it to a mitzvah. And you've heard this vart from me since you were little children. And your children have heard it. So we're all allowed to enjoy food, but we make a bracha on it. We turn the chol into kodesh. We're all allowed to enjoy wine. We make kiddush on it. Every bit of gashmias, there's a way in Torah to turn it into ruchnias. You all know the shir. We've heard it many times over. Let me tell you something. What goes on at the Pesach hotels is not what the Chazal was talking about. This is not elevating the Choyal to Kedusha. Now, if you've been paying attention, you've been following, you would ask me the following question. You would say, Abba, you started out by telling us that you're not even a Pashat Yid. You just hope to be a Pashat Yid. So how do you know what Chazal meant when they said that? Maybe Chazal would be happy with how Klal Yisrael gets together by the thousands at hundreds of different hotels worldwide to engage in 10 days of nonstop eating and touring. Well, I can tell you this. As Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart said in 1964 when discussing what pornography is, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I shall not attempt to define what I understand it to be, and perhaps I can never succeed in intelligibly doing so, but I know it when I see it. No one who has learned the Aleph Beis can possibly think that this is what Hashem had in mind. It is not Hatznei Aleches. All we speak about on Seder night is how chametz is the Yetzer Hara, how we scrub out the chametz, how we work so hard to look so carefully for chametz. The Mesiras Nefesh of the Yiddish Mama, schwitzing from Shushan Purim to Pesach, making sure every bit of chametz is gone, is one of the greatest prides of a Jewish home. What a great, great example in chinuch to Jewish children. And what do? I'm selling my whole house, lock it up, and heading to Florida. Last week, just at the beginning of the quarantine, I met a woman in the supermarket who I am mildly acquainted with. She is, Baruch Hashem, very wealthy. Her shopping cart was overflowing with Pesach products. We exchanged hellos, discussed the lockdown, and she said, pointing to her shopping cart, "This is the first time in my life I'm making Pesach." She's been married for over 20 years. And I said, "Yep, we live in tragic times." So Hashem has closed down all the Pesach programs, every single one the world over. In Florida, in Israel, in Arizona, in California, Romania, Bahamas, the Koshala Pesach cruises, all closed. Hashem said, "Shut it down. Go home. Stay home. And when you figure it out, come back." Acharein acharein chaviv weddings. Rabbeinu shalaylam, Klal Yisrael, what has happened to us? Weddings are massive productions. It is not at all unusual to drop $100,000 on a wedding today. $100,000 between the gowns, the photographers, celebrity singers, 10-piece bands, flowers. What is wrong with us? What on earth is wrong with us? The pressure that parents are put under to do this because everyone else does. These are obscene and grotesque spectacles of excess. They are totally connected everything the Torah wants. We wish every chassan and kala the same wishes. Every Rosh Hashiva, every father, grandfather, uncle, brother, nephew, niece who speaks at Vart's wedding, Sheva Bracha, says the same thing. We wish you should be zeichet to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. Is this how we get them started? With a disgusting spectacle of ostentatiousness, the likes of which Klal Yisrael has not seen? This is Hatznei Aleches? And besides what we see in front of our eyes, the debt that people have to go into, it lasts for years. What kind of chinuch is that to our kids? That we have to go into debt to give them a spectacle that goes against the fabric of Judaism? Hatznei Aleches im Hashem. About 10 years ago, maybe it was 15, I don't know. The Rabbanim tried to make a takana to put a stop to this. It didn't last very long. Literally, within 2 weeks of the takana, various Hasidish Rabbeim, Rosh Hashivas, known rich people, all violated the takana, and each one had a heter. These takanas don't work unless they're enforced and made to be halacha. Imagine if someone walked into Shul on Shabbos with a smartphone and started watching movies. I have to say, if he walked in on Shabbos, because this really does go on during weekday davening, I've seen it, while someone's wearing tefillin, he's watching a movie on his smartphone. If that would happen, he wouldn't last a second. They'd stop Shul, they'd throw him out, no questions asked. That avera would be enforceable. If these things aren't enforced, they're a joke. Klal Yisrael needs leadership, someone who's willing to take a stand and not be afraid of losing the approval of Gevirim. You violate the takana, don't come to shul. You make a fancy wedding, whatever the rules would be, schools should throw their kids out of school. There are numerous schools that make parents sign a contract that they don't have internet at home upon threat of expulsion. This can be incorporated the same way. I can't change the world. I can't make Rabbonim find Achdus or the inner strength to fight the tie, but I can tell you that a movement starts with one person, and this I can do. Although the weddings I have made were by no means over the top, they were certainly more than what was necessary, and I want to try to make a change, at least for us and our family. I want our family to commit that all simchas should be family only, period, loiplug, full stop. Infuse our smachot with kedusha and start focusing on what is important. Keep it small and turn it from a migushim dika spectacle into a tznius, simple ceremony that is meant to join people together for the purposes of raising children in a Torah home. You think it can't be done? Have you seen the videos of the dozens of couples who have gotten married these past 2 weeks? These beautiful young couples with only 10 people at their wedding? They're doing it. They're getting married with 10 people, and wow, what a story they will have to tell. Most have been mekabel the gzar din and accepted the Ratzon Hashem, and these young couples are inspirational. They are our Nachshon. They didn't want it, but they're stepping up. And what a Kiddush Hashem they're making. They got the message. Hashem has spoken. No more fancy weddings. Lights at weddings? You have to hire a lighting specialist now? That too. Hashem said, get out, shut it down, and get back to me when you figured out what you've done wrong. And at least for these couples, they have. Tavo aleichem bracha. Next issue, machloikis. Machloikis in Klal Yisrael is something that has broken the Kisei HaKavod. I have heard directly from people who are from the Olam HaYeshiva speak about people who wear knitted yarmulkes in the most disgusting way. They say, they're apikursim. They have no shaychus to Torah. They are bnei shmad. It's shocking how people who spend so much time in Beis Medrash could speak so dismissively about other Jews. Conversely, I have heard people with knitted yarmulkes speak about the dusi, charedi, yeshivish community in the most contemptuous, dismissive ways. They are primitive. They're a chilul Hashem. They're provincial. This is particularly prevalent in Eretz Yisrael. They won't go in the same room as each other. The zilzal they have for each other's Rosh Hashivas is appalling. And believe me, Hashem is crying. Hashem is wailing. And that is why we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. How can anyone dare opine as to whether someone else's Yiddishkeit is valid or not? Does anyone think Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, ever spoke about any Jew this way? I heard a story this week about this theme. A Rav was asked why he showed respect to a Jew who was dressed and acted like a bum. And the Rav answered, I have one criteria. If he were living in Germany in the 1940s, would the Nazis have slapped a yellow star on him? If the answer is yes, and he would have been shipped off to the gas chambers, then he's the same as Rav Elchanan Wasserman Zatzal, who the Nazis also slapped a yellow star on and killed. They're all Yiddish and neshamas. It's not for us to judge them. It's for us to love them. There is only one who gets to judge. Hashem gets to judge people's Yiddishkeit. Nobody else. The Rosh Hashivas of Yeshiva Hezder, Yeruchim, Yeshiva Karen B'Yavne, Yeshiva Malot, Yeshiva Ar Etzion are just as learned, devoted, and worthy of Kavod HaTorah as the Rosh Hashivas of Panovich, Brisk, Mir, and Kol Torah. Anyone who speaks against any of these institutions, their staff, or their Talmidim are all guilty of sowing Sinas Chinam in Klal Yisrael. We're living in a time of a miracle. We're in the middle of a miracle. We are witness to the tefillah of Yomim Narayim, Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol masecha ve'imoscha al kol masha barasa. And so Hashem, instill your awe upon all your works and your dread upon all you have created. Now the entire world sees there is a higher power, and we absolutely have no one to rely on but our beloved Avinu Shabashamayim. We cannot squander this opportunity. When we come out of this, we cannot go back to business as usual. What a horrible waste that would be. What a terrible spitting in the face of Hashem that would be, Hashem Yerachem. We must each take on something, at least one thing, that we know we can do for the rest of our lives. And of course we'll slip back to our old ways. That's the nature of a human being. I heard a shiur from Rabbi Waxman in Muncie where he explains that the Navi Yecheskel says, V'chayos Ratzav V'shoiv. The angels were running to Hashem and then falling back, and running to Hashem and falling back. It's in Perek Aleph of Yecheskel. And the Gra says on this pasuk that this characteristic of Ratzav V'shoiv, running and falling back, in other words, having an aliyah and falling, and having an aliyah again and falling, is the reason for the world's existence. When we fall back, we have a thirst to get up and reach out to Hashem and elevate our neshamas again. This is Kiyum HaOlam. When we now reach out to Hashem and make Kabbalas, we are actually partaking in Kiyum HaOlam. May Hashem wrap each and every one of you and each and every person in Klal Yisrael as his Kanfei Hashchina, and may we all truly be able to celebrate together when we come out of this terrible time of Din to a time of Hashem's Rachamim and Chesed.